I've just been told that Fenway Sports Group asked Kyle Dubas to put his plan on paper. And when he did, they said, boy, that's revolutionary. You got the job, young man. Joining me now to talk about the Dubas hiring, he is the longest tenured Penguins beat reporter
on earth.
From Pittsburgh Hockey Now, he is Mr. Electricity, Dave Molinari. Davey, what's your take on the hire, especially when measured against who else was available? That obviously is a big consideration.
I think they got probably the most accomplished guy who was available, at least in terms of being a GM. You know, now how he'll fill in, you know, his permanent role as president of hockey operations remains to be seen. We don't even really know what the parameters of that will be. But no, I thought they did as well as they could, and we certainly can't accuse them of rushing into it since it took them 7 weeks to fill the job.
Well, I know we don't know the parameters per se. They've not been dictated, but it seems safe to assume that Dubas has autonomy here, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I guess it remains to be seen just how much he'll be involved in day-to-day on ice decisions or personnel decisions. If I had to guess, I would say it will probably be more so than Brian Burke was. He'll get a bigger say in that, and not just Burke, but probably than most president of hockey operations do. I think that tends to be a guy who's a liaison between, you know, the GM and people below that, and, you know, the upper management level. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see exactly what the job description turns out to be for him.
Well, I'm assuming he's the de facto GM as well, and whoever has that title will be more of an assistant than anything else. I think he'll assemble the roster autonomously, but you're right in terms of, like, who dresses, how they play. Do you think he'll have input on that? Because Mike Sullivan wouldn't be used to that, would he?
Oh, no, and I didn't mean to suggest that I would expect that. I'm talking more about, you know, constructing the roster and that sort of thing. You know, things that generally, at least in the past, have fallen to the GM. I won't be surprised if he has more involvement in that than most presidents of hockey operations. So it's that's a relatively new position in much of the NHL. So there's not too terribly much precedent to go on there, but I do expect him to be pretty hands-on.
What's your take on Dubas's resume in Toronto, where he seemed to share power with Brendan Shanahan?
Yeah, I mean, he had mixed results. I think that's fair to say. You know, if the ultimate measure of your performance is winning a Stanley Cup, you know, he never came close during his 5 years as GM. I mean, he only won the one playoff series this spring. But he did build a pretty stable organization, certainly competitive. There were some questionable personnel moves that I think any GM who, you know, is active at all is probably going to make some moves that he regrets or that wishes he could get a do-over on. I think that's certainly the case with Dubas. In general, I would say, though, that he comes out on the positive side of the ledger, certainly.
Yeah, I think so, too. If Moneyball, the movie, taught us anything besides how badly Art Howe was misrepresented by Philip Seymour Hoffman, it's that GMs should get judged probably more by regular seasons. I mean, the Leafs had 115 points last year, 111 this year, Davey. I'm not sure Kyle Dubas, or anybody for that matter, the coach, Brendan Shanahan, nobody told their four key players to stop scoring in the second round.
No, I mean, it's, you know, ultimately the responsibility, unless the coach is a complete zero, you know, responsibility for on-ice performance falls on the players. And, you know, his big guys in Toronto certainly let him down against Florida. You could certainly make a case that the Maple Leafs have a better roster than Florida, which is not to take anything away from the Panthers. They've been awfully impressive since grabbing that eighth playoff berth in the East. I think it's fair to give at least some measure of absolution to the coach and the GM for the way a team fares in the playoffs.
When you said complete zero was a coach, did Pierre Kramer's name come to mind?
It didn't, but it probably should have.
We're talking to Dave Molinari of Pittsburgh Hockey Now here on 105.9 The X. Now, the big question for me is, can Dubas affect meaningful change given the age of the roster and eight no movement clauses? Because the toughest thing to do in hockey, given when free agency hits, is to make your team younger.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a very daunting challenge here. I mean, something that certainly complicates, you know, what you laid out there is the fact that he's also been charged with, you know, upgrading the organization outside of the NHL level. And to get better for the present while improving for the future is an awfully difficult, if not impossible, task. Now, it should be clarified that, you know, not all of those no trade and no movement clauses are total. You know, in a lot of cases, it's players can only be traded to X number of teams. But that still is going to complicate his efforts to try to remake this team, which, you know, they, to paraphrase Chuck Knoll, they have challenges and they are many.
Well, yeah, I think one of the challenges is they're stale. I mean, it's just the same core of guys with the same coach making the same mistakes, losing the same way. And I don't want that to reflect badly on the coach or even the core three, certainly, but there is a staleness, isn't there?
Well, yeah, I guess it depends on how far you extend the core. The way he talked today, it sounds like pretty much everything is on the table outside of the top six forwards. And I don't know that I would take that for granted. I have to believe that if he gets an entertainer, an attractive offer for, say, a Jake Guentzel, that he will at least listen and see what's in there. This team, you know, stale really is a good word to describe the state of this group. And, you know, I think an infusion of fresh blood in meaningful roles certainly couldn't hurt.
Were you impressed by Dubas's press briefing today, Davey, especially in contrast to Ron Hextall, who did not exactly leave a tough act to follow?
No, I was quite impressed. And, I mean, I don't know that Dubas is going to media friendly isn't the word. I don't think media responsibilities are necessarily something he enjoys or will seek out beyond what is necessary in his role. But I was very impressed by the way he carried himself today. And there was one thing that really struck me. He responded to almost every question by using the questioner's name, you know, which was given to him by Jen Bolano of the vice president of communication. So it's not like he knew everyone on site. But in one instance, about four questions after a question was asked, he referred to a previous questioner by name, and that told me he wasn't just parroting a name and, you know, retaining it for 5 seconds and then letting it go. I thought it showed an attention to detail, if nothing else, that will probably serve him very well.
What's the most pressing situation for Dubas to address? I would guess goaltending, with Jari said to be a free agent on July 1st, and I find it intriguing the way he talked about the uncertainty of goaltending in very plain-spoken fashion.
Yeah. I mean, I agree that is the most pressing issue for him, because I think if you don't have your goaltending figured out, your other 18 guys don't really matter that much. And, you know, it's reasonable to think that he doesn't have as good a handle on Tristan Jarry as he would like before deciding what to do with him. That's why I think Mike Sullivan and goaltending coach Andy Chiodo are going to have a big say in whether the Penguins try to re-sign Jarry. But yeah, I would think that he would want to get that dealt with, you know, well before free agency begins, whether he decides to try to keep Jarry or not. And then he might want to move on to Jason Zucker, who, you know, has expressed an interest in staying, but who would certainly be attractive on the open market and who would be pretty tough to replace, certainly with anybody who's currently in the organization.
Well, my problem with each of those, and I'm a big Zucker fan, Jarry not so much, but my big problem is just, you know, their availability. They both get hurt an awful lot. Zucker did better in that regard this past year. But looking at the goaltending specifically, Davey, there's not many good goalies in the league. I mean, especially compared to the past. If you ask me right now how many legitimate starting-level goalies there are, on the level, you know, that we've seen over the recent past of the NHL, I'm not sure it would fill up half the league.
Well, and that's why you don't just automatically say, yeah, we're cutting ties with Jarry.
Right.
You know, good luck getting a deal somewhere else. There just aren't many attractive options. Certainly in free agency, you never know what might somehow come up in a trade. You know, perhaps a team will make a goalie, a good goalie available for whatever reason. But, you know, as you noted, it's not exactly like the league is overflowing with top-shelf goaltenders. And so you might be best served by holding on to the decent one that you have. That's going to be an interesting and difficult decision for him, I think.
One other thing I like about the Dubas hire, Davey, is that he has no ties to anyone from here. I've often wondered in recent years how many decisions were made, you know, to not upset this person or upset that person. But that brings us back to the possibility of trading Guentzel, which Sidney Crosby definitely would not like.
No, but, yeah, I mean, and I guess Crosby is as close to a player who should have a major say in transactions as anyone, but ultimately it's, you know, the people above the playing level who have to take responsibility for the moves that are and are not made. I could see where Crosby might not be pleased at losing a guy who's a 40 goal or better potential scorer off his wing that he has a good chemistry with. But if Dubas would decide that trading him is in the best interest of the club, I think he has a responsibility to do that. And I think bringing in blood, fresh blood from outside the organization is really important. I think that's valuable in almost any line of work. It just to get different perspectives on things, different ways of thinking. I think obviously it certainly seems likely that the GM, whatever his responsibilities turn out to be, will be somebody else who comes in from outside of the Penguins organization. So I think that can only work to their long-term benefit.
Analytics really apply in baseball because the game stops and starts all the time. But what's your feeling about analytics in hockey, which Dubas obviously is a disciple of, and how pervasive should their use be in assembling a team?
I think they're a good tool. I don't think that you make a move solely on the basis of numbers. I think that the eye test really does have to be taken into account. You know, I don't know if there are advanced numbers to show how a guy is going to stick up for teammates or,
right,
you know, sacrifices that he's going to be willing to make on the ice. I can appreciate that analytics are a valuable tool. I've come to appreciate them more over the past couple of years as being a reasonable reflection of performance. but I absolutely would not use them as the only way to measure the value that a particular player has or could have to a team.
Mike Sullivan is not on a short leash, nor should he be. But with the new GM now, is he on some kind of leash?
Boy, it certainly didn't sound like it today.
No, not today.
If Dubas hadn't taken the president of hockey operations job today, he could have signed on as Mike Sullivan's agent with the way he spoke of him. I mean, just the most flattering terms possible. So I would say that if he has a leash, it's a pretty long one. Now, whether that solely reflects, how Dubas feels about Sullivan's work to date, or whether that reflects the relationship that Sullivan has with the higher-ups in Fenway Sports Group, we can't really say. But I don't think that we're going to be, pondering the possibility of a coaching change in late October this year.
Oh, no, I think that would be more than a year away, which is why I think the leash would be lengthy. But I think given that they haven't won a playoff series since 2018, I mean, again, I think Sully's a real good coach, but nothing lasts forever. Finally, Davey, I saw John Henry there, Tom Werner there, FSG's Brain Trust. Now that they've hired a director of hockey ops for the Penguins, can they please finally get midfielders for Liverpool?
I was surprised that they even bothered dealing with the Penguins before taking care of that most pressing issue. And I'm waiting to see now, are we going to see Mo Salah as the GM here?
Well, if they would have had Alexis McAllister with them today, I would have felt a lot better about the whole thing. Davey, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for the time and input, and we'll talk soon.
My pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
That's Dave Molinari. Check his work out at Pittsburgh Hockey Now. He is the dean of Pittsburgh Hockey Writers. Every time I say that, I think of back to school. Hello, Dean Martin.